Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to Season 3, Episode 23. This one's called Sarek. It was directed by Les Landau. Teleplay credit goes to Peter S. Beagle, and the story credit goes to Mark Cushman and Jake Jacobs. Those are some ridiculous names that are involved in the production of this one. Anyway, we're going to be joined by Modi Operandis to talk about this one. It's the one where Spock's daddy comes back to the Enterprise. It's called Sarek.
I believe I see the flaw in your logic. You are reacting to their overprotective attitudes toward me. They are somewhat emotional concerning my age.
Surely Sagath cannot be influenced by emotion.
Am I to be blamed for the judgment of a child? Sagath is young and inexperienced. He erred in his assumption that I needed help.
But you needed his help at the concert. Or is there possibly some other logical explanation for what happened that night?
What happened?
I saw you crying.
I did not cry.
I was there. I saw the tears.
You exaggerate, Captain. I recall only one tear.
So you were emotionally affected by the music?
That is not possible!
You still haven't answered my question, Sarek. Is it logical for a Vulcan to cry?
It was late. I was fatigued. Nothing more. The Logarans trust only me. They will not meet with any other member of the Federation. I must be allowed to complete my mission. There are no other logical solutions.
No other logical solutions? But Ambassador, there are always other solutions. You have said so yourself many times.
What I meant was that...
Sarek of Vulcan would never be afraid of looking straight at something he did not want to see.
I warn you, your efforts to discredit me will not succeed.
Sarek of Vulcan never confused what he wanted with the truth.
I will not be spoken to in this manner!
Do I hear anger in your voice?
It would be illogical for a Vulcan to show anger! It would be illogical! 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 Illogical!
Welcome back to the podcast, Mr. Modi Operandis. How are you?
I am good.
Good. We're here to talk about Sarek today. Sarek, yeah. One of the, what is this? It's the 23rd episode of season 3. We're getting there. We're getting close to the end. Any sort of overall thoughts about season 3? I know you've been a little bit all over the place with the episodes I gave you so far.
Yeah, but on the whole, I think I said in the very first episode recorded for season 3 that it's getting very watchable, and mm-hmm. this is like a perfect example of a great episode, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Season 3 turns it around for sure, so it's great.
Yeah, it's really going to be my, when I do my little wrap-up episode for the thing, it's really shocking to me. If you go back and you watch like a season 2 episode, how drastically it changed in a very short amount of time. But we'll save that for the time. So let's talk about Sarek, which brings back, for the first time, a character referenced. Well, that's not really true, but it sort of features a character from the original series. I know they had Old Man McCoy in the pilot, but that did not. Oh, yeah. That was just kind of a throwaway cameo. And the show had been trying to avoid bringing back characters from the original series. That was sort of Roddenberry's thing. He didn't want to involve people. He wanted the show to stand on its own two legs and not have to rely on sort of a lot of guest cameos from original cast members and or guest stars that were in the original series. So they bring back Sarek in this one, who is Spock's father. And this episode actually, even though they bring him back, they do not go out of their way to explain that he is Spock's father.
And I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah.
That they kind of just allude to him at the beginning. And if you pay attention, you can figure out who they're talking about. It's a credit to the fans of the show, basically.
Yeah,
I think
he says Spock's name once, or Picard says it when he's doing his little thing at the end, which we'll get into. That is the only mention of Spock, and you have to sort of be a fan because, as you're saying, he mentions it early, but it was only he mentions his son's wedding. Picard mentions going to Sarek's son's wedding. He does not say Spock though. And if you're paying attention, you realize that he mentions Amanda, who is Sarek's first wife, which is, she makes an appearance in the original series episode that features Sarek. But this is his new wife, because he obviously outlived his first wife, because the Vulcans lived for a long time. So the basic plot line for this one is, Ambassador Sarek is on his last mission for the Federation, where he is going to negotiate some kind of agreement between the Ligarians and the Federation. And this is his like last hurrah. He's going to walk off into the sunset after this. He's been working on it for 100 years. It's slowly revealed that he is suffering from something called Bandai syndrome, which basically causes the repressed Vulcans to start expressing their emotions in a very poor way. And it's really just sort of a stand-in for Alzheimer or dementia.
That's what I was thinking, too. I wrote that down. It's Vulcan Alzheimer's, basically.
Yep. And so he's sort of losing his mind. And because the Vulcans are also telepathic, his uncontrolled emotions are sort of leaking into the crew, which causes a lot of people to get into arguments and fistfights in one case. And then Picard agrees to mind meld with Sarek at the very end of the episode to give him the sort of mental fortitude to get through the negotiations so that he can do that. And Picard has to suffer through the what we're told are intense Vulcan emotions.
And quite obviously intense Vulcan emotions based on Stewart's performance there.
Based on that reaction. And then they just sort of have a nice little touching ending and they go off on their separate ways. So, what, Modi, do you think, or your general overview or general thoughts about this episode?
I think this episode's fantastic. There's a lot of great, I don't care for the assistants too much, so the one guy's a little smarmy. The Vulcan guy's a little bit better, but the performances are pretty good for them. Sarek's performance, I don't know the actor's name, unfortunately, but it's
Mark
great.
Mark Leonard is the actor.
Mark Leonard, okay. Yeah, he's great. And Stewart's performance in this is fantastic, too. So,
yeah.
It's a really good episode.
Yeah, I forgot about this one. We're sort of at a stretch now, if you've been listening. We had the most toys, Hollow Pursuits, and then this one. Hollow Pursuits was first out of the three. They've been three episodes that I've been, like, sort of really surprised by the quality of them, and I think this is, like, the crescendo of that. This is the best episode out of those three. And they're all really, really strong episodes, and I'm shocked by the car honking in the background, but I'm also shocked by the fact that this episode is so good, and it's one that I never think of as being really good.
Yeah. I was like, what is this one I got when he told me I was doing Sarek? I was like, that sounds familiar. That's Spock's dad. I know that. But like, I was like, I don't remember anything else about it.
Yep.
I started watching it at the very beginning here. It's like, is this an imposter situation because they're like trying to sequester him away?
Yes,
he's very suspicious right from the outset.
Yep.
And it's like, is this like an imposter situation? Because like from the get-go, Picard seems suspicious of the whole thing.
That's my but that's my one thing. I don't know. I think the one problem with the episode is to make dramatic tension. They made it more mysterious than it really needs to be.
Yeah, so a lot of confused looks throughout, like a lot of scenes ending on confused looks, I think, is how the first act of this is described.
Well, but I mean, like, I can sort of understand the assistants not being willing to explain that he's suffering from this, but I don't really understand why.
Well,
the one guy
seems to be aware of it. The other guy doesn't seem to be aware of the condition.
Oh, the human.
The guy that they first talked to, the human, does not seem to be aware of the condition at all.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, at first. And then they kind of reveal it that the Vulcan here has been pulling the strings here and protecting him.
Yes.
And the human just understands, oh, he's tired. He's old. Like, but it's something more than that, yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's funny, too, how it seems like quite a few humans buy into the Vulcan way of life and try to live, like, because Sarek has married two human women, and this Kai guy seems to be human. He doesn't seem to be Vulcan.
I definitely think he's human.
Yeah, so it's interesting that a lot of other cultures seem to buy into. It's like you don't see a lot of humans like walking around with Klingons, like dressing like Klingons and doing stuff like that. But the Vulcans seem to have a appeal to them, I guess, in the future here.
I can get that though, as far as like compatibility. As far as, I mean, you can have very cold, logical people as humans that would fit in just fine with Vulcans. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that suppress their emotions generally and very stoic.
Right,
and so I mean that's. Is this kind of just a different personality that might fit in well with them, I think, as far as humans go?
Yeah, I think this episode did a lot for... the Vulcans are probably one of the top one or two most interesting species that the show has ever done. And this one is really, really fleshed out because, you know, they do a huge favor to them by not just saying that Vulcans just don't experience emotion.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You know, they could have easily done that, and they would have been much less interesting.
They needed to reiterate that during the show, because I was like, oh, yeah, because I was thinking, oh, Vulcans don't have emotions. Why is he getting so angry? I was like, wait, no. they reiterate in the show and they remind you that they do have emotions. They're suppressing them constantly.
Right. And that and
I'm glad they reiterated that for sure.
Yeah. And that they're so, their emotions are so intense. That's the reason that they develop this logic thing, because they actually can't get anything done because they're way too emotional. And I think they're just a really fascinating species to bring back, or to use again, just because their, you know, this philosophy of logic is so interesting, and the, it sort of makes sense in like how the Federation would operate, that these guys would be ideal. Yeah, I think in terms of performance, I think Stewart and Mark Leonard are excellent. I think the two aides are slightly below that. And then I don't think Perrin, who's the wife, is very good at all.
She's not great. I don't know what they could have done with that role. They didn't give her a whole lot, I think.
No, she... I guess it makes sense that you'd have to... That the, you know, they're trying to be emotionless as well. But I don't know... I feel like she should have been a little bit more emotional regarding her husband is getting sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think she's aware of it, though, too. Like, she's been aware that he's getting sick. Like, comes to terms with it, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because she had to have known. I mean, there's always the chance that he'll outlive her, kind of thing, because they lived to be so long.
Yep.
As it's the second wife and all that. So she's aware of the whole thing, that it's like their timelines are all kind of not going to match up no matter what.
Right, so. Yeah. She's sort of, you have to buy into a lot when you are a human who marries a Vulcan, I guess.
Right, exactly. You got to be pretty understanding and pretty, just get that things aren't going to be expressed that are known. And she says at the end, like, that Picard reminds her that he loves her, and she says, I know that.
Yeah.
Like, I always known that. It's fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to say anything.
Thanks, Captain.
That's cool. Great. Thanks for intruding in our lives and having all these emotions for me now, technically, because you just spent the last 2 hours probably in love with me.
Picard should do that. You know, Sarek really likes that thing you do with your tongue where it's just like, oh.
He just leads in for a kiss at the very end when she's going to teleport her.
So I wanted to say there was – generally, this episode is really liked. And we can get into why, but I did want to start off with the Tor.com guy who did his rewatch of this, who I'm finding to be the most different from my point of view, and he seems to have, like, he certainly has his own opinion about things. He was not crazy about this episode, and he said that the sci-fi of the anger getting transmitted to the crew was hokey.
Yeah, okay, fine.
You agree with that?
I would agree with the whole thing. It's like, oh, well, they're telepathic. They can transfer their emotions. Yeah, okay. It's a plot contrivance, I think. I mean, have they really proven telepathic abilities besides the mind meld thing?
No, they seem to be more limited in it, yeah.
Yeah. They don't really are. No, they're not known for their telepathic abilities. Let's just say that.
Right. Like, that's not the
it might be a feature
thing
that they can do, but it's not something they're known for.
Yeah, see, I sort of disagreed that it was hokey. Because when you accept that they're telepathic, it's not a huge leap for me that this would happen. You know, I think of hokey sci-fi as we're going to be discussing
technobabble.
Yeah, technobabble is like the hokiest, where you just sort of make up something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, telepathy transmitting your anger is made up, but it sort of makes sense on like a level
within the mythos of the show, I guess it's not unheard of to make something like that up.
No.
But I don't know.
I think it's
very interesting.
I think it's a fairly elegant plot, all things considered, especially considered to some of the other episodes that we've seen, that this is like the clunkiness of the plot gets in the way. And this one, everything flows. Everything makes sense.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that they don't really have it's not a mystery as to what's going on, which I think is a huge plus.
Right.
They kind of figure it out.
At first it is, but then it's like, is this dealing with a problem kind of thing? Yeah.
Right. They're like, oh.
A difficult problem.
Sarek appeared and all this started happening, and they go, that's good enough. And they sort of, the rest of the episode isn't spent trying to come up with like a sort of cure or figure out what's happening to the
crew.
Right.
It's just dealing with the problem as it is.
What'd you think of, so Sarek's beaming angry thoughts into everybody. What'd you think of the fight scenes that happened between Geordi and Wes?
Picard? I love the fight scene with Geordi. That got real quick with Geordi and Wes. Oh my God. They were bringing up some, like, I'll never forgive you for bringing this up kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, when he's like, I don't have to see women on the holodeck. Like, oh, you are done as friends now. It is over between you.
I was...
Even if you're like, I was under mind control. Like, no, you do not come back from that, friends. I'm sorry.
No, I was surprised that they went so dark. I thought they'd be bad. Like, you know, like if it was a Star Trek thing, I'd expect Geordi to be like, Wes, when I told you to realign the warp core, you only did it to 93% or something. You know, like something real stupid that no one would actually be insulted by.
They got real, like friendship ending real.
And it's a problem with how unserialized the show is. You know, I was like, I almost wanted more, but at a certain point they can't do too much because these characters are just going to go back to normal at the end of the
episode.
Well,
what about later in the same episode when Wesley goes in to talk to his mom and he's just fine? Like, he's like, I talked like that to my best friend and, like, had to live with the things I said. Like, oh my God, I would be stricken with guilt for, like, even if I couldn't control it, I would still be, it's essentially getting drunk and going off on your friend like that. Like,
yes, yeah.
You're not in control, but he still said it. And right. So you still harbor those feelings deep down.
That's exactly my point.
You got to deal with, man. You can't just go hunky dory to your mom after that. I don't understand how you recovered so quickly from that.
No, it's true. They were actually revealing things they really seemed to think, which is interesting.
Deep seated problems between them. Yeah,
deep seated issues about Geordi's hollow love and Crusher. Just it's funny that everyone gets mad at Wesley, but Crusher just wanted to just like slap the shit out of Wesley. Which
he's the best one to slap, though, isn't he?
He is. He has a very slappable face. I thought you told me you were going to be at the violin recital. Very, 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 very funny. No, and the Picard Riker one is good. I think that's
great
the least
too.
Cheesy out of all of them.
Yeah, that got real quick too.
It did. And Data is the one to step in between and just be like, "Can you calm down?"
I liked how professional they kept it, even shouting, though, at each other. They kept it very much on task. And whereas, you know, Wesley and Geordi were getting all real personal, they were just like all about, like, I say one thing, I say another thing.
Yes.
Like, it's
very
this,
chain
it's
of command very, was basically
yeah,
the argument of, like, you don't tell me what to do, I tell you
exactly.
What to do.
Yeah.
And they calmed down very quickly. I was a little disappointed Riker didn't apologize. I don't know why Picard took all the responsibility.
I picture the resolution after that scene ends. It'd be like talking to Dave, like, yeah, I told him. You see me win that argument? I told him.
Do you see how I yelled at him? That's
yeah,
how
you
like
see that?
That? I'll yell at you.
He's still afflicted by the emotions at that point, I'm sure.
The other sort of character interaction here that got me thinking is I'm a little bit surprised by the reaction that Vulcans have to Data, and I feel like they should be much more infatuated with Data than they are.
I would, yeah, he's like the perfect specimen of their species, I would say. Like, he's like, oh, he has no emotions. He's pure logic. He should get along just fine.
Yep. And I was a little bit disappointed that the scene between him and the Vulcan assistants weren't more of a logic argument, which would have been kind of interesting to watch between the two of them.
I like the logic argument between Sarek and Picard later. That was pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, something similar along those lines.
Yeah, Data could have done that same kind of thing, though.
He did. He could have. And the guy sort of admits that he's wrong and he's been like illogical. I think I might have just been expecting a little bit too much or something. I'm not sure the first Vulcan assistant was the best Vulcan actor.
He'd all right for me, I think.
He served his purpose and he got out of there, and that was the end of it. But yeah, so I mean, this episode really just sort of builds towards this ending sequence. Which starts, I think, with Picard sort of alerting Sarek to the fact that he thinks he has this syndrome. Mm-hmm. And Sarek sort of buying into it. Sarek tries to argue against him. They have the scene where Picard and him sort of get into a yelling match. And Sarek starts screaming, illogical, illogical, illogical.
Yeah.
Would you think of these scenes that are bringing to the end?
The Picard-Sarek scene is fantastic with them, you know, trying to like argue logically, emotionally kind of thing. Like, it's impossible to, like, I don't know, like, like for him to admit he's got a flaw kind of thing, he can't do it, and trying to like logically convince somebody there's something wrong is kind of an impossible task. And I think they did it pretty well here, how he kind of loses it. It's like almost like a courtroom scene.
It
when
is,
the defendant or the person on the stand finally cracks and like admits their guilt or something like that. Like,
right.
it's kind of like that almost.
I'd agree with that. It's I did like the just like sort of shooting down is like your argument, Captain, is illogical based on circumstance or whatever. Like your entire argument is based on coincidence, which is you know an interesting sort of thing. And Picard can't not prove that, but ultimately it turns out to be true. It's a tough thing to do. I think Leonard did a fine job. It's the sort of shifting between emotion and logical. I don't know if they could have played that up a little bit more. He there's no moment where he's like, why was I just yelling? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which seems a little bit detached.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he seems... I don't know. It's, I guess I've had great-grandparents, that kind of thing, with Alzheimer's and that kind of thing. Like,
yep, same on my...
Kind of... They don't realize anything's wrong, ever. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
that's
so I think
totally
in that regard,
yeah.
He played it pretty well.
Yep.
In that he doesn't... He is yelling. He may or may not realize it, but it doesn't actually register with him that he's angry, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably more... It's better if you make the analogy that it's Alzheimer's. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
In the show, it's kind of hard to get because it's basically just saying that he's just losing control of his emotions. So it doesn't explain why he... Yeah. He still seems to be able to recognize what's going on in the show, which is kind of a problem that he doesn't realize he's getting angry and he doesn't seem to think it's a problem. If you do, you know, make it an analogy to Alzheimer's, I think it makes a lot more sense, or dementia, mm-hmm. or something like that. So yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So they mind meld. Picard gives his inner strength to Sarek, who is able to do his negotiations, I guess. And then Picard sits in his room
oh my God.
With Crusher, and does probably his best scene to date in the show, I would think.
Yeah.
It plays very much to his strengths as an actor. It's very Shakespearean.
It's theatrical and Shakespearean for sure. Yeah, it's a soliloquy of a Shakespearean soliloquy basically, and it's very very good.
Right, it's a great performance, but it's very you're right. It's like theatrical. Like everything is very broad in a sense.
I don't know if it's one if it was one take or if there was multiple shots on it, but it seems like it could have been kind of thing. It kind of has that feel to it.
It feels like one take. They do cut the camera a couple times, I noticed, but he does, I think it's three shots at least, but I don't know how many cameras they had rolling at the same time. So
yeah, but you don't notice it almost, because it's such a compelling all the way through. I think
it's great it's great cam work, a lot of close-ups of Stewart's face. He does a great job. He's basically just going through every bit of Sarek's emotion. I thought the writing in that was really good. Of the very Shakespearean line, I'm so tired, there's nothing but dry bones and dead friends, which is a super Shakespearean line. He's going through this thing. He's sort of lamenting the fact that it's all the pent-up emotion. Sarek's very frustrated that he's losing control. He's dedicated his life to the pursuit of logic, and the sickness is taking it away from him. Again, the Alzheimer's thing.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on about how much he wants to feel, but his life has been lived as Vulcan. He can't feel. Goes on to his wives and his son, Spock. The only time they mention Spock, just mm-hmm. saying that he loved them and he could never express it, but he wants them to know it. And then Picard just sort of breaks down at the end of it. I think it's a terrific scene. It's probably...
It is great.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. It's you're going to hear the clip. I'm obviously going to... The clip of that is going to be one of the clips in this episode. But it is a fantastic acting display by... Patrick Stewart, and Crusher does fine. And I mean, she does a perfectly, good job in her role as sort of the other Shakespearean actor who's listening to the soliloquy.
This is like such a good example of something that Star Trek can do based upon the characters it's created and the race it's created and the lore it's created that really no other show can do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of how the Vulcan is, how Sarek's, mind, he can't express the things that he wants to express. He finally is a conduit to someone who can't express that for him.
Right. Yep.
And it actually shows you what that would look like.
Yes.
And it kind of, you feel almost like there's some catharsis for Sarek through Picard's emotional breakdown here. It's like,
yes.
You see Sarek at the end and you can tell he's got his faculties back, but it also is like something cathartic happened because he was able to express those things, even if it was just through Picard.
Yes. I was seeing it as sort of the mind meld seems to, you basically imprint a little bit of that person into you. Mm-hmm. So
and that comes up later too in the series. Yeah.
Yeah. So his, yes, because the episode where Picard meets Spock and actually explains what this was all about.
I'm looking forward to that one too. Yeah.
So I assume that a little bit of Picard's best qualities, which would be his sort of dignity, have reinforced back into Sarek at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarek has the line, the best parts of us is now going to live forever in the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touching little ending scene. I think it's a great little episode, but I think it really just highlights how cool the Vulcans are as a concept.
It's really cool.
Right? Just the live long and prosper. The little hand with the split fingers is like very, it's cultural icon at this point.
Yeah.
His wife, Picard, explains, as we mentioned before, that he's always loves you. She says she knows. I just think it's really, really great. It's hard to just sort of go on and on about how wonderful this is. I think anyone who considers skipping this episode should reconsider it. That's basically.
Yeah, I definitely would say that if someone wants a good representation of what this show can be, and the acting chops of the characters and the actors involved here,
yep.
This is a great example. So
yeah, I was. Can you? this is like high praise for Patrick Stewart. Who else, if Patrick Stewart was like sick and couldn't do the scene and you had to rewrite it, what actor could pull off that scene? Could any?
I don't know. I would say Frakes might be able to do okay with it.
I would give it to him. I think he's my fallback just because I think everyone else is really like Worf is impossible. Just because of the character outside of Michael.
Give it to Data.
Yeah, I know, just Data. Just like I am very angry. Give it to Wesley.
No. Too much whining.
This is
him crying the entire scene, basically.
He might be the worst. But yeah, it's tough. You couldn't give that to anybody else. Which is really brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is the worst part of what bit would you try to improve if you had to for this one?
They arrive at the mind meld plan pretty abruptly.
Yep.
It seems like a very risky proposition you risk losing both Picard and Sarek at the same time if this thing goes south. If it doesn't go to according to plan, and then you have this whole diplomatic mission thing. I mean, you don't really. I guess it's just kind of a MacGuffin. The diplomatic conference going on.
Yeah, because you never even meet the Ligarians or whatever they're called.
I want to know why they need a pool of slime. Is what I want to know.
In like
it's intriguing, and I want to know why.
In like disco lighting, why it has to be like in pink lighting,
disco lit slime.
I don't know what they look like. They're definitely just a MacGuffin to kind of keep it. The show
at least is an interesting MacGuffin, though. Like, it makes me ask questions that aren't ever going to be answered by anything. Because they're never this race isn't ever coming up again, and they can just throw whatever they want at the wall here.
Yeah, somebody reads a fan fiction about this conference like from their perspective or something.
How did it go? Right.
It's I don't think it's a huge problem. This is like something that doesn't need to be fixed, but it does. The stakes as to why this is important. Could be fluffed up a little bit.
Yeah. It seems like Sarek says, seems like it's his entire life has been leading up to this conference kind of thing. It's like, what? Really?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
This is your culmination of 100 years of work? What's so important about this kind of thing?
And Picard in the long tracking shot at the beginning where he's just delivering exposition, like explaining everything that they're doing. He just says... Yeah. It would be like it's highly advantageous to get a relationship with this alien race for whatever reason.
Great, yeah.
So that's.
I mean, the later stuff with Spock trying to broker peace with the Romulans seems like a bigger culmination of your life's work.
Yes, yeah.
That seems like a culmination. Whereas this seems like you're going to meet some weird slime creatures.
Yeah,
and try to get them on your side somehow. I don't understand.
Who can either do something or are very good at something? Yeah, like to be it actually. Make it important or something.
I want to make it clear the walls must be bare.
Yes. No chairs. Okay. They fucking hate chairs. Take every single goddamn chair out of here and get these wall hangs.
At least it's interesting,
that?
Though. Like, yeah, I don't know if it ever comes up again. The slime room never comes up again.
So, I mean, so far we've seen in the show the slime room. They have the fencing area that has never been seen again, which is not a holodeck for some reason.
yeah, that's right.
And there's probably one or two other of these weird things I can't think of now, but if anyone wants to remind me, write it in the comments or send me on Twitter.
Are you talking about the dojo where Riker fights his father?
Oh, the dojo, that's right. Yeah, the phaser range, which we've seen once and never seen again. So there's all these rooms that serve a very small purpose and seem to take up a lot of space.
I look at that ship, there's a lot of stuff they're not covering because there's a lot of sections of that ship that don't make sense to me when I look at it.
Yes.
Like, there's that narrow section in the middle. and then it goes down to the fatter section at the bottom. It's like, what's in that middle narrow section?
I always wonder how the turbo lift works. Like, does it just shoot around everywhere? Like, does it
Or do you have doesn't to get seem like there's any spot that's like an elevator shaft could safely fit through to go hold the decks.
But yeah, don't
get very back. I don't know. Doesn't make any sense.
Don't let me forget about the turbo lift, because in our next episode we talk about it. I do want to mention the turbo lift. But
okay, sure.
I don't really have anything else to say. I think this episode's fantastic. Did you want to add anything else, or do you have anything you want
to
discuss?
No, I think we can go to scores here.
Yeah, so I'm going to play an audio clip. Right after that, me and Modi are going to come back, and we're going to give our ratings for Sarek.
No!
It is wrong. It is wrong! A lifetime of discipline washed away, and in its place... Bedlam. Bedlam! I'm so old. There is nothing left but dry bones. Dead friends. Oh, tired. Oh, so tired.
It will pass, all of it. Just another hour or so. You're doing fine. Just hold on.
No! This weakness disgusts me! I hate it! Where is my logic? I'm betrayed by... desires. I want to feel. I want to feel... I am a Vulcan. I must feel nothing. Give me back my control.
Jean-Luc.
Herod. A man. I wanted it. Give you so much more. I wanted to show you such tenderness. But that is not our way. Spock. Amanda. Did you know? Love you. I do love you. Beverly.
I'm here, Shonden. I'm not going anywhere.
It's quite difficult. The anguish of the man. Despair. Pouring out of him all those feelings. The regrets. I can't stop them. I can't stop them. I can't.
Don't even try.
So, Modi, Sarek, yes. Episode 23 of season 3. What are you going to give this one on our rating of 1 to 5, 5 being an all-time classic, 1 being garbage junk that you don't need?
I will give it a 5.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one a 5 too. This is this has been the first surprising 5 to me. You want to justify? You want to say where you think this
like
sits?
I said, I think I said it earlier that like if you're trying to introduce this show to someone, show them this episode. If they don't, even if they have like a passing idea of what Vulcans are and that kind of thing, like I think this is a good example of what the show can be, and like the way the different kind of races and that kind of thing come together, the different kind of problems they could deal with. This is a very Star Trek kind of problem. Yep. Even the fact that they introduce emotions which emotions have been lacking in season one and two altogether.
Yes.
Yeah. they find a way to get it in there finally, which I appreciate too. So this is like, you know, you'll get through the cold season one and two if you could see the emotion that can come later, maybe.
Yeah, that's very true. This stands in huge contrast to those early season episodes where just no one felt anything.
Yeah.
And it kind of does a parody of that in the arguments that people have here, where everyone seems fine after they, like, brutally insult each other.
Yeah, everyone's cool with it.
Everyone's fine. They're pros. They're total pros. But it's I think it's just an outstanding, acting piece. I think you're 100% right that this is, like, a quintessential Star Trek episode. The only thing you need to know is Vulcans. And I think Vulcans are at a cultural point where everyone knows what they are.
It's in the collective zeitgeist. Yeah, I think everyone knows it.
And I think they're just, I think the plot here is elegant. I think everything makes sense. It's maybe not the most exciting plot out of that, but it's really all just about the character work that's going on here. And I agree. I'm also going to give it a 5. It's a surprising 5 to me. I did not remember this one being a 5. I thought it's excellent. It's very moving at the end. It's well worth watching.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Anything else you want to add?
No, just live long and prosper, my friend.
Live long and prosper. The best of me will now be in all of you listeners.
Mind with this episode.
So, thank you, Modi, for coming on.
Thank you.
And you're going to be back in a couple episodes with Transfigurations. And after this one, I'm going to do Menage a Trois or something.
Oh, good luck.
That one might not be as good as I remember, or it might be whatever the opposite of what I just said. But thank you guys for listening. You enjoyed the content. You're on YouTube. A like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review is very helpful to get the show out there. Things are going well. We are just about to finish up season 3. Best of Both Worlds is coming. But until then, I got Menage a Trois, and then I have Transfiguration. So thank you, Modi, again.
Thank you.
And I will see you guys later.